is up, everybody? Welcome to Student Visa. This is the podcast for the curious and the adventurous, those who want to experience something more. My name is Rob Salasky, and I would like to give you a huge thank you for listening. Whether you are planning to study abroad yourself, want tips for your next big trip, or are just looking to learn about an exciting new place during your daily commute, I know this podcast has something for you.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. This episode was a long time coming. Been nearly 11 months since I recorded and since I dropped the last episode. So I'm sorry, on a hiatus. It's been a busy year for me. But this episode is here. It's with Samantha Richmond, aka Sumi. She was studying in the UK when I was in Spain. So listen to all her stories. It's awesome. The music's ramping up. We gotta go. Oh!
Alrighty, Sumi, Samantha, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Woohoo!
The first UNC Tar Heel on this podcast.
Mm-hmm. It's an honor.
It's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty, so Sumi, let's just start with everything about you. Why are you here? Why are you in my house?
So right now I am studying abroad in Sheffield, England for the semester. And so I have 3 weeks off for spring break. And so during that time, I'm just doing a lot of trips all around Europe, mainly Southern Europe. And so I decided to stop in and see my good friend Rob and have a free Woo. Place to stay. So that's why I'm here.
I feel used. Mm-hmm. It's okay. And you were like just in Madrid, and before that you were in Paris.
Paris.
And you're going to be in Barcelona.
Yep. Tomorrow. And then Barcelona, and then Nice, Venice, Florence, Rome, and then I end with a week in Mykonos.
Which is in Greece.
Greece, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so talk to me about your exchange program in Sheffield. University of Sheffield.
Yeah, I really love it. So I chose Sheffield because I don't have any language credentials, and so I had to go somewhere where it was English.
But you know French.
I know a little un peu de français, but not a lot of French. And so I knew I wanted to go either to England, probably. England or Ireland. And so I found Sheffield through my study abroad advisor, and I really liked it because they have the top journalism school in the UK. And also the school, the layout of it, and just the way it appeared online. It seemed pretty similar to UNC. And I thought it'd be really cool to go to a city that was smaller and like not so touristy, so that I can really get like more of an authentic English experience rather than maybe, I mean, in London, I still would have gotten that too, but it's just a bigger city. It could be overwhelming. And so I like being in Sheffield where it's smaller, and then I can travel to other places as well easily from Sheffield.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And you're liking it?
I'm loving it. It's a great place. Everyone's very nice. I love the classes I'm in. It's pretty similar to American classes, but I'm learning a lot of really interesting, relevant things. So I love it. And I'm in a musical there, so I'm doing some extracurriculars, and there's so many international students, so it's really cool to meet people from all over the globe.
That's so cool. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's get into what we're going to talk about, first of which is solo travel. This is something that I don't really know anything about. So I've traveled by myself, but I haven't ever like actually been at a destination by myself. So this is your time to shine, and let's start with just talking about how is solo travel different from traveling with a group of people, obviously besides the fact that you're by yourself. Like, what are some things that you might not expect about traveling by yourself that are the case? Good things, bad things, all things.
Good things for sure is that I've had a great experience solo traveling so far. A lot of people told me that they were like, that would be really nerve-wracking. Like, how do you do it? That's so scary to like go to a country where you don't know the culture, might not know the language. But it's given me a lot of like, it's a sense of accomplishment almost to like be able to plan out an entire trip and see the things I want to see and have it go successfully. Also something with solo travel that I didn't really realize was I have the opportunity to do like whatever I want. So when you travel with a group, you kind of have to listen to other people and what they want to do and eat when other people want to eat and take breaks when other people want to take breaks. But solo travel, I can really just run on my own schedule. So if I'm tired and I need like a nap, I don't feel like I'm ruining someone else's time because I'm like, okay, I need to like sit down mm-hmm. for a minute before I go to the next thing. So that's been really awesome, just being able to plan everything myself and do whatever I want to do. Something else I didn't expect is there's a lot of people who solo travel. So I wasn't sure how popular it is, but it's really popular here because it's very easy to get around Europe. And so that's been cool because even though I'm alone, I meet so many people from everywhere. And so being able to sit down with people in hostels or in my tour groups and talk to them and hear about where they've been and get travel recommendations from them has been really awesome. I think really the only like not so great part was, you know, you don't really have people to fall back on. So if I want to just like run to the restroom real quick, like there's no one to like watch my stuff or like you forget that you have to be very like reliant on yourself. And so that's why it's very important that you have everything planned out. And like you might get a little lonely, but I haven't really had that problem so far just because there's so many people around. And especially if you're staying in hostels, you're not going to be alone.
Yeah. So that was kind of my next question, mm-hmm. not specifically about hostels, but for listeners who don't know, Samantha, you're a very social person. Like you're super involved back at school and like you have a bunch of different clubs and organizations and, you know, you're always down for a social get together. So it's not like you're just solo traveling because you don't want to be with people and like you're just like need your space.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I'm this way for sure. Like I need to talk to people and I'm a social creature. And I feel like you're that way as well.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you get that when you're traveling a lot?
So that's a great point. I think for me, I knew that solo travel would be kind of a challenge for me because of the fact that I am a very social person. I like having people around. I don't like too much alone time. But because of that, I knew it would be a challenge. So I kind of like forced myself into it a little. I thought it would be a unique experience I'm probably not going to have again in my life. So I just decided to go full force in. But I always meet people in my hostels. Hostels, they always have like bars and like social areas, and you can pick your hostels that have that kind of demographic. Like you can look at what age the people are who are staying there and where the people who are staying there are from, and whether or not it's a really social hostel. Like some hostels will say on their website, like this is a very calm, like, place and like there's not a lot of like gatherings, and then some are party hostels and they're like, do not come here if you want peace and quiet. So I think I kind of like really researched the places where I was staying and made sure that there was going to be other English speakers there, people I could communicate with, and also people of my age. And also if the hostel, most hostels have bars, but that's a great way to just be able to sit in an area, and so many people will want to come up to you. It has been a little bit of a challenge for me. My first solo travel trip was in Berlin, and when I got there, it was very overwhelming because I got there right at like peak bar time. And so when I walked in, there were so many people, I didn't know who to talk to. So I think you do have to force yourself to kind of go up and talk to people. But for the most part, like I've had so many people come up to me and approach me, and they're like, oh, are you here alone? I'm also here alone. So it's like a mix of both, but you definitely have to be willing to like just step out there and go up to, I just ran up to a random group of people and was like, hey, I'm here alone, can I join you? And everyone's super nice at hostels. No one's going to be mean to you and be like, you can't sit with us. So it's been good. I haven't really had a problem with just feeling like I'm not talking to anyone and being in myself. Also, that's so on cool. tours and stuff, you can meet people in your tour groups. So
yeah, I was going to say hostels is like one of the first things I think about as far as meeting somebody when you're traveling alone. But you told me just yesterday that you went on a tour group in Paris and like you met like an older couple that were just kind of chilling out. And mm-hmm. so like, I don't know, that's super cool too. And so mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe talk about how that went down. You just did this tour group and like you signed up for a couple different like tours and then met people there. And
mm-hmm. so I wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to have like a lot of time where I wasn't going to like know what to do next. So I pre-booked a bunch of tours before I got to my destinations. And so if you go on a tour and it's probably going to be something touristy, like for example, I met some people at Notre Dame. So you know that there's going to be other Americans there and other people who might be there by themselves. And so, and people can usually tell when you're there alone, like you'll see groups of friends and stuff. But everyone has been very kind. And I mean, it's like the nice thing to do if you see someone alone, you like say hi to them. But yeah, so I've met some older couples, which is great because they have a lot of good tips and tricks and advice for me. And like, they've been to Europe before. But yeah, if you get in a tour group, then there's going to be other English speakers and people that you can just hang out with.
So. Yeah, that's a great tip that I would not think about signing up for a tour group. And it's also something that I feel like, especially in a study abroad type of environment, people are constantly saying, like, don't do touristy stuff and, oh, it's such a touristy thing to do. But like, at the end of the day, that's what we are. Like, like studying abroad gives you like a good, like kind of a more insider perspective, I guess, and a more genuine look at the country or the place that you're staying. But there's nothing wrong with being a tourist and like going and taking a tour of like a super significant like historical place or like Notre Dame, for example, is like, yeah, nothing wrong with that at all. And especially like the added bonus of like getting to meet other cool people that are also curious about, you know, exploring a new place. So that's sweet.
And that's something too, where it's like where you can do like the big touristy spots because you want to see them. But then along the way you meet people who have recommendations and they might know like a low key place that's like really cool that you can go to. Like one of the couples I met in Notre Dame, they suggested a place I go in Barcelona that I hadn't really heard about, but they said it was really cool. So I got that recommendation and I scheduled that to do. So you can get other recommendations, but hit up the tourist places because that's where you'll meet people as well. And they're incredible. They're tourism attractions for a reason. Yeah. So they're cool. So.
Exactly. That's so awesome. Awesome. All right. So my next question was going to be, do you have any tips for people that are going to travel alone? But you talked about hostels and doing tours. Is there anything else you'd add to that list?
I mean, just like tools I've used for that. Hostel World and TripAdvisor have been kind of my go-tos. Hostel World is incredible. Like, it shows you all the hostels in the area and you can filter it by like certain things you want, like air conditioning and like Wi-Fi are kind of a given. But you can look at all the pictures, see if it's like close to the areas you want to be in. It just gives you all the information you could possibly want. And then TripAdvisor is really awesome too, because you can like pick the day and see like all the available things for that day and compare prices. And there's just so many like packages you can get together. So I've had some really awesome tours through TripAdvisor. So I would definitely check out those two websites.
So you book tours through TripAdvisor and hostels not on TripAdvisor?
No.
Okay. You can look obviously on Hostel World.
On Hostel like, World, yeah. And you can look at places on TripAdvisor, but Hostel World is just incredible. Very easy to use. So
Cool.
Recommend.
Nice. All right. And that kind of transitions into our next topic, and that's planning a trip. Not necessarily by yourself. Could be by yourself, but also with a group. What tools do you use in addition to TripAdvisor and Hostel World?
So first, I think it's just important to have a certain mentality, because when you're solo traveling, you want to be able to, you want to make sure you plan everything out very well and make sure that you have everything written down and you have all your tickets for things. Like, it's just very important to keep very organized and realize that you don't want to waste any time when you go to that city of planning things at that city when that's something you could have done beforehand, because you want to use the most of your time. So just that mentality of being really organized, but also the mentality of you're going to be in a new place and you don't know exactly how things are going to go. And so you kind of have to be more of a go with the flow kind of person. Like, you want to make sure there's a very like low chance that something will go wrong or, and you'll miss a tour or get lost. But at the same time, those things happen and like, that's okay. So first of all, like just work on that and just know that there's going to be challenges, but it's fine. And then something I've done is I just made an itinerary. So I have documents that I brought with me and they're also on my phone as well, but it has like all the times I depart and arrive and like where it is, the addresses, under the hostel. I have the address for the hostel, the phone number for the hostel, what kind of room I booked at the hostel, whether I paid or not. And then for all my trips, or attractions that I've booked, I have like the booking reference number and the contact number for that. Just like everything you could possibly need. Like, it's better to be like over prepared than under prepared. You don't want to get to your tour and then be like, oh, do you have your ticket? And then maybe you didn't realize some tours you have to print a ticket, some mobile's okay. So just really like read the fine print and like know exactly what you need to have with you is really important. I really think having the booked out itinerary with all the details like on paper that I can physically have with me has been super helpful and just helped me keep organized. So I would recommend that. Even if you think it's like a lot of work, it's definitely been worth it. And I've yet to feel like lost or confused or that if I needed help, I couldn't get it. Like I have all the contact numbers I need, all the locations I need. So,
yeah. A couple tools that I use just to add to your list there is obviously Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
Great with groups. I'm not sure if it's the best option when you're by yourself, but like with a group, it's great. And then how did you book your train up here? Did you use Eurail/Omio? I think it just got renamed to Omio.
I use Trainline. Basically all of my trains. But okay. I also use, I went on Google Flights because Google Flights, you can look and see if a train is cheaper or if a flight is cheaper. So there's a couple of train lines that are separate from the app Trainline, like Italo, okay. which is what I'm using in Italy. I would recommend Google Flights, and then there's always like discount airlines and trains and stuff. But yeah, but gotcha. Trainline is good for me. I don't know.
Trainline. Okay. I use Omio for, it gives you actually trains, buses, and flights. You can compare all three. But it's also good to like check somewhere else. And I use something called BusBud, and that's obviously buses. And both of those are really easy to work with and look at different options. And you can, like you said, printing stuff out. Mm-hmm. I've never had to print anything out here because you have like the mobile ticket for both BusBud and Omio that I've used, and it's been great. But yeah, I would definitely recommend checking those out. Any tips on top of just like those tools, like Google Docs?
You kind of mentioned that. Google Docs, yeah.
I'm a big Google Docker.
Yeah, I do like that. And like Google Flights really has been helpful just to see like all my possible options. That was probably the hardest and most strenuous part of planning out this 9-city solo travel trip was figuring out what days it's cheapest to fly or what days it's cheaper to take a train and like which mode of transport was easiest. And so I really like Google Flights because it shows you the calendar. And so you can look and see like on Friday it's this much, Saturday it's this much without having to flip it back and forth because it's on a month calendar. So that was really helpful for me just to try to figure out like I should travel on weekdays instead of weekends because it's going to be more expensive on weekends. So I would definitely look at Google Flights.
Google Flights is clutch.
Mm-hmm. It really
is. So clutch. Any other last things to consider when you're planning a trip? I feel like we've hit it pretty well.
Should I talk about like must-haves, like things to bring? Or
yeah.
Or is that next? Okay. So for solo traveling, you obviously don't want to bring a lot of stuff. So I think just like packing things that are going to be useful for a lot of things. So I only brought one actual jacket with me, but then I brought like things I can layer with. I had to limit like my shoes options. Make sure you bring like good walking shoes. Like my shoes aren't that fashionable, but they're really comfortable to walk around in. Also make sure you bring, like if you're going to stay in a hostel, bring a lock because you're definitely going to want to lock up your stuff in the hostel. And you can like buy those at the hostel too, but I just think it's cheaper and easier to have my own, as well as an adapter that works for multiple places. You can usually buy those at hostels as well, but that's just nice to have an adapter with you in case your phone dies. Also a mobile charger. You have to have one of those, in my opinion, if you're going to be traveling by yourself. And then make sure you have like copies of all your documents. Something I didn't realize when I was flying from Berlin back to Sheffield was they wanted to see my documentation showing that I was a student at Sheffield. And luckily I did have a letter from the school saying I was a student.
A physical letter with you?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
So just make sure you like really research like what you need, but it's safe to say like bring a letter from the school, bring a copy of your ID, passports, your visa, just everything that border control could possibly want. So that's what I would recommend. And then, yeah, just pack light. Don't bring excessive things because you might want to buy things when you get to your destination. So just plan accordingly and don't try to overpack because that's stressful to have to keep up with a lot of belongings as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a a girl or someone who wears a purse, like, make sure you bring a purse that locks, or not locks, but mine has a zipper and then a button over it. That way, like, you don't have to worry about pickpocketing as much, because that's a big concern of mine. So just make sure you have, like, bags that, like, will keep your valuables and items safe and enclosed and won't fall out easily. So I travel with a small carry-on bag, and then my backpack is what I bring, along with my purse, which fits in my backpack when I'm traveling around. The less stuff, the less, like, physical bags you have to look after, like, the better, because it's a lot. It gets overwhelming if you're alone, so. Mm-hmm.
And even if you have a group of people with you and, like, someone can help you out, I am such a huge fan of traveling. Definitely carry on, and hopefully, like, that's your only bag. Mm-hmm. Actually, last week, I think I published a blog about this backpack that I got right before I came over here. Mm-hmm. It's, like, actually, it's technically a little bit bigger than carry-on size, but I've never had an issue. It's, like, half of a liter too big for carry-on. But it was advertised to me by the REI salesman as carry-on size, and so I got it, and it's been perfect. Like, it's a little bit too big at 46 liters. It's, like, a little bit too big for a normal weekend trip, but, like, for the two-week trip that I'm going on pretty soon, it's going to be, like, perfect. And, like, if you can have everything in one bag and that's all you're worrying about, it's so much better.
Would recommend one bag if you can.
Yep. And as far as clothes and packing, I agree with you on the layers. You got to have, like, obviously be prepared for, like, some cold weather if you're traveling this time of year in, you know, like, the north of Spain and whatnot. But you also need to have, like, a couple other things to, like, some style options, and layers gives you that option. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Gotta be looking fly.
You gotta look good, yeah, without overpacking. It's hard, but you can manage. And something else I forgot too, if you're going to be flying, make sure you really look into like, what you can bring in your carry-on. So, like, back in the United States, like, you have your Ziploc bag that you can put your liquids in your carry-on, but there's some liquids that don't count as liquids. For example, like, my EpiPens and inhaler and mascara, like, those don't count as liquids, so I can use that bag for, like, my shampoo and stuff. But when I got here, some airports here, not all, but they're stricter on what counts as liquids. So I was really sad when I was flying to Berlin. I only had my shampoo and toothpaste and stuff in my small Ziploc bag, but the guy told me that I had to put all my medication in there, and I had to put, like, my lip glosses and, like, Vaseline and, like, mascara and, like, just some things that, yeah, like, Vaseline, like,
that's
that
a semi-solid.
Exactly. No, I was like, this is petroleum jelly. Like, this should not count. And so he ended up throwing away, like, multiple things of my makeup because I had to bring my medication. So that's what suffered. So I really packed
medication,
it in there.
Like, pills?
No. Look, because, like, EpiPens, like, have some liquid in there, and inhalers, even though that's, like, barely a liquid, but it counted. And so those were things I had to bring. So he just threw away, like, a lot of my cosmetics, and it was very sad. So make sure you look at that beforehand. That was upset, like, bad thing that's happened so far solo traveling, was having that thrown away, but it's fine.
Gotcha. Any other packing tips or different gadgets? I definitely agree with you on the, like, power, like, charging adapter. Gotta have that.
You
just got to. The mobile phone charger, like, the extra battery pack is a great idea.
I would say roll up your clothes. Even the clothes I brought now, I put, like, a space bag in there. So get a space bag, roll your clothes, stuff, like, your underwear and socks into your shoes so that it frees up space.
By space bag, do you mean,
like, a vacuum seal bag? Yeah. Nice. But I got one where you don't have to use a vacuum for it.
You just push it down.
Oh, yeah. Nice. It's been really helpful. So
I really want one of those. Sweet.
Great for packing. Yes.
Cool. All right. Well, that wraps up our discussion on traveling, solo traveling, U.S. student traveling, and that type of stuff. But before you go, got some questions that I ask everybody. First, what is your favorite place you've ever visited, and why?
So far, I would say I really enjoyed Madrid. I think I got like really lucked out with the weather too. It was just really lovely, but I love the Spanish architecture. I love how like everything just looks so historic and unique and cool and not something you would see in the United States. They have a beautiful park in Madrid that was so nice to just sit out there. Like, it's a big like European culture to just take things slow. And everywhere I've been here, it's
especially
very,
in Spain,
especially in Spain, you just can like go and like grab a drink, grab some food and just sit in a park and just enjoy yourself. So I think that just like the experience of like a slower pace has been really nice. But then Paris was really cool for all of like things I was seeing. So I feel like Madrid was awesome just for like the experience I had. But then Paris was awesome in terms of seeing really cool historical things and all the tourist attractions. And also Parisians are like the same. They also just take things slow. So many Parisian cafes that I just love to sit at and chill by. But yeah, probably those are top two.
Top two, Madrid and Paris. Fair. I'm going to be in Paris in like a week and a couple of days, week and a half.
It's going to be awesome. I'm super excited.
Shout out to Abigail, who I'm going to be there with, my girlfriend. What's up?
Y'all are going to have so much fun. I'm so excited for y'all.
I'm very excited. Okay. Question number two. What is one thing from your hometown that everyone has or does and they just don't do it other places?
First thing I think of is dishwashers, because apparently people in England don't wash their dishes with a dishwasher. Like, that's like an English thing.
Great answer. That's frustrating.
That's the first thing that comes to my mind.
Great answer.
But yeah. And then he likes Ubers aren't everywhere in Europe, but sometimes, I mean, for the most part, they are.
Despite the name of the song.
Uber everywhere. Can't do that in Pamplona. Nope. Not here. So that's, you know, I'm a big Uber fan. So it'd be nice if they had that everywhere here. But honestly, yeah, the Europeans know how to live. So it's, there's not too many things that I like seriously miss from North Carolina that I think they should implement here.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
In my opinion. I don't know. I've got along just fine, but yeah, dishwashers. They should get those in England.
Yeah. We don't have dryers here in the north of Spain, but that's because the air is really dry, so you can just hang things up pretty easily. Anyways, so same type of question, but just on a deeper level. What do you feel like people from your hometown value more than other people elsewhere?
I feel like people back in Charlotte really value their work. Like, I feel like people have, like, a really strong work ethic, which, like, I've just seen, like, maybe in some of my, like, international classes, like, the work ethic isn't as strong. Like, I feel like when I'm back in Charlotte, whether it's, like, working at a job or in Chapel Hill doing schoolwork, it's very common for people to, like, care a lot about their work and, like, really wanting to, like, move up and up. And I'm not saying that's, like, not what people value here, but it's just, it's something I've noticed being in my classes. And then just, like, the slower pace of life here. I mean, people do take, like, you're talking about the siestas they have here. So, like, but that just, like, doesn't happen, which I think it's, like, just a mix of both. Like, I feel like back home we should value downtime and just take things slow, but also, like, it's good to, like, have strong ambitions and, yeah, work really hard, which I'm sure they do here also. But, like, it's just not, like, seen as much for me when I'm walking around.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a legit answer. And it is all about finding that balance. But, yeah. Yeah, I agree. Nice. Well, Samantha, that is it. That is it for the episode. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Yeah.
This is very exciting. I'm so happy to be on Rob's Student Visa podcast.
Woohoo! Let's go. So yeah, we're gonna in a few hours start, you know, celebrating Juevinchos here in Pamplona. So
I cannot
hope you enjoy
wait.
It.
I'm sure I will.
Alrighty. We'll catch you later, Student Visa.
All right, guys. So there you have it. Hope you enjoyed hearing from Samantha about all her awesome adventures. She went all over the place by herself, and that's pretty badass. Like, yeah, she met up with friends along the way, but she did Paris all by herself. I'm like, dude, that's legit. But yeah, so since then, Sumi and I have hung out a couple times here at UNC and talked about our experiences abroad, and we both really miss it because it's been about a year. So yeah, man, it was such a great experience. It's cool to kind of come back and record after such a long period of time and really reflect on what happened in Spain, all of the life-changing experiences. And I know that sounds super cheesy and corny, but true. It was very life-changing. Ask my family and people that know me. And yeah, so finally got around to doing this. Sorry for the super long hiatus, but it has been a heck of a last 11 months for a variety of reasons. And now's a crazy time too, but was able to kind of squeeze this one in. Coming up next, we got an episode with the Wickham brothers. If you're still listening, well, you better be listening. So I owe them a episode about our travels, our adventures in the French Alps. We went to a resort called Val d'Isère, had an epic week of skiing. It was amazing. And we had a unconventional but fun recording coming down from the mountain in our bus ride that went from the resort back to actually Geneva, Switzerland. So got a fun one coming up next. And like I said, a little unconventional, a little all over the place. But it'll be good. It'll be fun. And then after that, I really do want to do an episode by myself to kind of wrap it all up and reflect about a year after leaving Spain, because it really has changed me as a person. And I want to just put my thoughts out there in the world. And if somebody's listening and maybe it causes them to think differently about something or to take an opportunity to go abroad, stuff like that. Yeah, it's been amazing. So yeah, I've been talking long enough. Thanks for listening. If you hung on this long, then listen, shoot me a DM and I will Venmo you some amount of money. It probably won't be more than a dollar, but I'll do it. Just shoot me a DM and maybe I'll just shoot you a heartfelt DM back and say thanks, you know, in more words than that. But yeah. All right, guys. Feels good to be back on the mic. I gotta admit, I really like listening to myself talk, which is why I'm rambling on by myself in my bedroom on a Sunday afternoon with nobody but myself. It's a weird thing. All right. Catch you next week. Wickham Brothers, y'all are up. Let's do this. Have a great week. Get out there. Go do something cool. Bye.